Hi, this is Kayla.
And this is Desi.
And you're listening to Sunday Sips.
Talks about the culture. Season finale.
Yeah, episode 21.
Cheers. And we are drinking The Palm by Whispering Angel. It's a rosé.
Fruity,
and it's 13% alcohol.
Not bad. It's a little, like, special for our last episode of the season.
Yeah, it's a nice
Not, bottle. Like, ever.
Right.
Don't worry.
Oh, it does taste really good. Very light. You ready for the news?
Yeah, let's get into the news.
In case you haven't heard.
A lot's happened. Since last recording, we now have a president-elect, Biden. He won.
Oh, my God. And Kamala Harris is our VP.
Yes, I'm really excited about Kamala Harris.
Me like, too.
It's such a historic, like, first woman VP.
First black woman.
First black woman. First Indian American.
Yeah, woman of Asian descent.
Yeah.
It was big. She didn't crush all of them.
Oh, you're right.
She didn't crush all of them. So that happened, and
I ran into my neighbor, and actually, she wanted to go to the inauguration, but then she's like, nah, because of COVID.
Right.
But I was like, ooh, it's going to be so historic, and she's like, I know!
So are the numbers. The numbers are historic right now, too.
Oh, we'll talk about COVID, but I just want to say real quick, so Biden is now president-elect.
Yeah.
Trump has not conceded.
Nope.
He needs to.
Also, Georgia was flip blue. Michigan was flip blue.
Yeah.
Off the black vote. So.
Props to those, because we did it. I'm glad they did.
Let's just say that. So that happened. What else did I want to say about the election that I really been thinking hard about? How still, what was it, like 55% of white women voted for Trump?
Okay, I'm glad you've been thinking hard about that, because okay, I've been thinking about the white vote hard as well.
And was it 77 million people voted? 70
it was
million
a lot.
People voted for Trump?
I think it was 70 million.
Yeah, it was 70 earlier. Million voted for Trump. And there was still a lot of red in this election to where it's still embarrassing.
Ohio went red.
Yeah.
I was, like, watching the election the election night, and I was, like, getting very upset because as the results were coming in, especially, like, the early results, it was a lot of Republican red votes.
A lot of Trump.
And it wasn't until, you know, like, the next day and stuff where, they started counting the mail-in ballots that, you know, Biden started kind of gaining this real lead. So I'm like, okay, but I was, like, really like America.
Honestly,
like, we have seen what this man has done for 4 years, and you want that? You want four more of it?
Honestly, election night, I had, like, a weird sense of anxiety, and I was weirdly upset to see what the numbers were looking like. I was like, this is very close, and I don't know, it was just, like, a very bizarre feeling to, like, I didn't even want to cross my mind, like, oh my God, he could do it again, he could win again. People had safety plans.
I was in this, like, family group chat.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the election all that night. And I was, like, at the end, I was, like, four more years? Like, I really thought he was about to win.
Yeah. So that was insane. But he didn't. It was still really close. And I still think that I keep hearing people say, like, oh, it's done. It's like, no, it's not. There's still a very long way to go. We should still be having conversations with people about, like, what the hell happened the past 4 years?
Yeah.
We still need to have anti-racism talks. Like, absolutely. Just because Biden's elected and just because we have a female of color who is VP does not mean that racism is solved for.
Right. Just like when we had Obama and they thought, like, we were post-racial.
Right.
Like, it's not.
No. And he still went through a lot. Remember when he wore a tan suit?
Yes. And he looked good in that suit.
Remember when Michelle showed her shoulders and they
had
something to say?
And she had nice arms. I wish I
nice
had
an understatement. They were of the gods. Like,
she needed to have her arms out.
Yes. It was motivation for Operation Get Fit. That
it was for the American people.
For the people. Okay. So anyway, yep. Okay, so that was a big
COVID.
Piece of news. COVID is.
You mentioned COVID. Yeah, we gotta talk about COVID.
Big.
It's
record
on the rise again. U.S. sets new records for COVID cases and hospitalizations. I've heard on the news that cases have doubled since September. So, like, we're in November.
Uh-huh.
So, like, since a month and a half ago, like, cases have doubled. And I heard that, like, El Paso, Texas right now was, like, the hot spot for COVID. Yeah. Like the city of El Paso has more cases than some states do. So don't go to El Paso right now.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Chicago's about to go on lockdown. The mayor said that. She's the mayor, right?
Is she a black woman?
Yeah.
They do have a black woman there,
yeah. Yeah, it's her. I just want to make sure I have the really right title. The one that they had that memes about.
Look at that.
Yo, she's a topic in 2020.
Memes.
No, her as a meme. She about to lock them down. She said, y'all ain't about to make me look like that again. Okay. Yeah. Stay home, people, and wear masks. Like, I'm to the point. I'm just fed up. I was just ask people, like, why don't you have a mask on?
Ohio also just put new restrictions. They put a reissued a mask mandate. So, like, for any retail spots you have.
When was it unissued?
Well, that's what I was thinking. And, you know, I was just talking to...
Is he just saying it again?
I was just talking to China, and she was in Mansfield. And she said there were signs on businesses that said... Your servers or workers may not always wear a mask when preparing food. It's like, what?
What's their health inspector rating?
You know, and this is like Trump country, like small.
Oh,
like,
do we see the correlation? I'm sorry.
Like, Richland County went red, so they voted for Trump. They, like, every time I did go down there were not that many mask wearers.
I feel like that's, like, a very, like, Republican American way to think. Like, it's my right to wear a mask,
like, you're
and therefore
on their
my right
liberties.
Exactly. So it's like, it's my right, and, you know, Trump's a rebel, and it's like, oh God, just wear a mask or stay home.
Right. Well, now they have to. So
we'll see. Okay.
What else? That was it. Oh, no. I didn't want to talk about Pfizer real quick. Good news.
Oh.
Pfizer came out with a vaccine that has, like, really, really good promising results. So.
Are you going to take it?
If I got COVID, wait, but is that...
No! It don't cure it. It prevents it. That's not how a vaccine...
Damn. Ooh, that's a good question. You know, if Fauci takes it, I'll take it.
Okay.
And I'm taking the one he takes. Because there's going to be a few out there. Would you take it?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know?
I don't know.
You mean anti-vaxxer?
I'm definitely not anti-vaxxer. I get the flu shot. But the flu shot had been around since before I was alive. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like I just got that my whole life. And the years I didn't get it, I got the flu. So, I'm like, damn it. I think I get other vaccines. Like, I get the vaccine for pneumonia because I have to.
Okay.
This coronavirus vaccine, I think I want to be in the beta round.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I respect that. No, I respect that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, another friend of mine was like, you know,
they never gonna go away. We don't wait for a vaccine.
When they announce, like, they'll prioritize African American community when getting the vaccine, if that's good, I suppose, but then, like, you gotta drudge up history, and they're like, but what about, like, the Tuskegee? You know, like, that didn't really turn out too well for us. Yeah.
You love doing understatements. Didn't turn out too well. Beef with the South. Like, you are understatement queen.
So, like, there's a bit of a distrust there.
Even, like, what was done to black women's bodies for, like, the reproductive health science. They don't talk about that. Yeah, so we've waited all this time to get a vaccine. And now when they get the vaccine, nobody will take it.
I mean, I'll take it.
Okay, you're going to take
it. If Fauci takes it, I'll take it. That's what I said.
If Fauci takes it, you'll take it.
Yeah.
If Fauci takes it, then Kayla's for the vaccine.
Yep.
And Desia will eventually take it, but I will probably not be first in line.
Okay. That's fair.
Ask me how you feeling.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll be the experiment. You know, if I have to go down for the team.
Please, take one for science.
I will. I'm an organ donor.
Cool.
So, it's fine.
All right, so let's get into our topic.
All right, our topic is just 2020. Like, so I thought, since this is our last episode of the season, we're going to take a break for the holidays. Thanksgiving is coming up, and then Christmas, and, you know, we got to spend time with the family. So I wanted to take this time to, like, recap on 2020, the highs, the lows, what we did, what's getting us through. If this were a time capsule and we'll, like, look at this, like, 20 years from now, like, what do we want to remember about 2020?
Cool. So, like, a 2020 time capsule.
Yeah. I wrote down a couple of things that came to mind for me.
Okay.
And then, like, I guess, well, before the show, when we were comparing notes, like, we actually had some similar ideas. And we didn't even, like, talk about it with each other, so it's funny.
Nope. And the things that we wrote down that are similar are truly hilarious.
So, I don't know, like, do you want to go down the list and kind of, like, talk about things?
Yeah, so I think where we could probably start, what is most memorable about 2020 is COVID-19 and how COVID-19 impacted the year. Because half of my list is things that either changed during COVID-19 or ways I coped with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could start with a virus happened that took over the world.
Yeah.
And it was downplayed by our government for a little while.
Yeah, like in the beginning, like at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then once it hit and everybody had to scramble, all of the disparities in our country and all the ways that racism is alive in our country were amplified to the highest degree.
Yeah.
And that led to the Black Lives Matter movement has been around for a long time, like since Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
But it was trending more because we were seeing racism amplified, because racism was able to be amplified, because racism had been festering because of the president we had.
Also because of social media.
And because of social media. And so it's like, and then the country was already in a very stressed place and people were already not having the resources they needed. Maybe didn't get unemployment. There was no system set up for the jobs that were going to be lost. Peak of 2020. Was when, like, America was just like, yeah, when COVID hit, because I think it just allowed a lot of things to be exposed that were already there.
Yeah.
And it was brought to, like, an enlightenment of, like, everything that's wrong has now just boiled over.
Yeah, and I kind of want to just say, like, maybe some people have known all along, but, like, it hasn't been in, like, the collective consciousness until now, because now it's affecting more than, like, one group of people. Because with COVID, you know, brought a lot of unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And who were, like, deemed essential workers.
Oh, yeah. That was big.
So
there was mad respect. I mean, there was a lot of respect for teachers in the beginning. Child care was a big thing. Like, oh, my God, working from home was huge. Yeah. But before I talk working from home, one thing I did kind of want to say is I've been hearing a lot of people talk about how, and this is like someone, like other people's perspectives that I want to push back on. Mm-hmm. So I've been hearing a lot of people say, like, yes, what's happened has been, like, sad, but now it's brought in this new awareness. When I talk about, like, oh, the lives that have been lost and, like, the fact that we had Trump for president, all these things happen. Now it's brought to light this movement that there's, like, traction being brought and now things are being elevated. And I'm always like, yes, and why did it have to be documented before we would just believe what is being said? Do you see what I'm saying?
You're talking about, like, with all the, like, the video footage popping up and stuff?
Yes, it's like,
and it's like, well, why didn't you just believe us when we said this? Like,
why did you need more people to die? It's like,
I understand.
Cleveland, we already had, like, a Tamir Rice here. Like, we didn't need another person to.
No, I think, who's saying that?
Like, I've heard, like, just.
Because that's something you wanted to push against, right?
Yes.
You're not.
And so I've heard it pop up in multiple spaces.
All right. No, like, it's been here.
But I just don't like when.
What?
I just don't like when people say it is like almost like a silver lining thing. There's no silver lining to lives lost, and it's very insensitive to the families.
That's no, it's like thought. A situation that should have never happened. It could have been avoided. Like,
yeah.
It was stupid.
Yeah. That's it. 2020 amplified it, but it's been here.
When you were talking about when COVID hit, I remember, and then the beginning when they tried to downplay it.
Yeah.
I remember being at work, and like, remember that cruise ship that caught the virus, like, first, and they wouldn't let them come off?
Yeah.
And we all thought that, like, that was very strange, and like, ooh, I hope it doesn't come here, keep them on the cruise ship.
Yeah.
And now it's like, and now look at it.
I remember when I realized it was about to be a big deal, I was in Boston. Remember, I flew to Boston for...
You have your job interview?
Yeah. And I was sitting in this little, like, Boston published cafe, which was, like, it made me almost move. I wanted to move to Boston at that very moment. It was amazing. And they're watching the news, and there was these, CNN was, like, people are leaking information that scientists and doctors aren't being honest about the severity of COVID-19. And I'm, like...
And now we know they were.
Yeah, but I was, like, is this Netflix? Like, you're telling me my government is lying to me right now.
Yeah,
and
man.
I was in Boston, like, all these cases were popping up, and I'm just, like... Wow. And then when I got home, I started going to Sam's Club right then. I was not playing around.
You weren't. You really weren't.
I was not.
Because you came back and went to Sam's Club before I went to Mexico. And
yeah.
Like, look at all this toilet paper.
Yeah, and Kayla said go to Mexico. And Kayla didn't listen to me about this at all. So I'm sitting here like freaking out, getting my house ready. Kayla is in Mexico. She comes back and I tell Kayla, Kayla, go to the store now. I will take you. So then I call Kayla the next morning and I say, Kayla, go to the store. Stuff is running out. And she gonna say, well, if it's already gone, then I shouldn't get up then. I was like, okay.
Girl, everything was gone. Yeah. I had to go into my job and like steal toilet paper for the bathroom.
Yes, because you didn't listen to me. I was sitting here, me and Baxter was chilling. He had bags of food. I was cooking, had margaritas.
Explains like our personalities. Cause like you're well prepared and I just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Like even the second wave that's coming, I got a deep freezer, right? We went to Sam's Club. You want like two things. I'm sitting here buying up like two.
What a budget. Damn.
Me too. All right. So, COVID happened. It never felt real.
No, but I also, like, I want to say on a serious note about COVID, there has been a lot of lives lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know someone right now who is elderly and has contracted COVID, so I hope to God, you know, she makes it through, but, like, seriously, this is, like, really fucked up.
Yeah.
And, like, I know that there's, like, nothing you can do about a global pandemic, but I also think that our administration could have done more to prevent the spread and help the treatment. So that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, and I also think that it affected, you know, low-income communities and people of color at a higher rate. So we need to talk about that. We also talk about how some people were forced to go to work or be in conditions where they could contract it because there was no financial support ready to go. Like, we had the stimulus check, but by the time that came,
there was only one.
Like, who does that?
They still haven't come out with another one. Like, they're still like,
and honestly, they're about to start student loans in January. Did you see that? They're starting my student loans back in January 2021.
I bet you that'll get pushed back. I bet you.
I'm gonna screenshot it and send it to Biden.
I bet
Biden better postpone that.
He will.
I got my vote in on time.
He owes black women this.
Right. Right.
You know we got the most student loan debt.
I don't know.
I'm just making that up. But... I'm just assuming.
Because we have the most educated. We also may get the most grants, boo.
Yeah, you might.
I got Pell Grant.
I mean, I got student loans. So that's
good. Yeah.
You do too.
Yeah, I do. I'm not worried about them. Okay, so then protests happened.
Yeah, protests. Like, when George Floyd got murdered. That sparked a big protest. Happened here in Cleveland. Happened around the world.
Yeah.
Around the world. Actually, yeah. That was crazy. Like, I didn't even... When you, like, will look back at the magnitude of that, like, in the moment, like, you don't think that, like, oh, we're just up in little Cleveland, Ohio, like, making posters and going to marches. But, like, people in London were marching. Like, people everywhere. It's, like, that's crazy. So, that was kind of where you were talking about the heightened awareness of racial inequality.
And how, like, neutrality isn't a thing, because neutrality is what's led to that. And honestly, what's grounded in being neutral is not wanting to have to address anti-racism, because you don't want to find yourself in it.
Yeah. I
like to address the system.
And I've never, like, even thought about it this hard in my life. I've learned a lot this year in terms of, like, race and politics and, like, inequalities.
Yes. Oh, we have to move on because we have so much stuff to talk about. Because COVID.
Girl, you know.
Finale. It's a finale. Oh my God. Oh, wait. Since we're on the topic of like COVID, we should talk about how we had to be indoors all the time and how Zoom and video chatting was one thing. And then social media and TikTok was a whole nother world.
I still have not participated in TikTok.
I will not participate in TikTok. But, so let's talk about how we had to be in the house all the time. It was hard.
It's still hard.
Oh, we're still doing
it. Still happening. Still feel lonely and isolated. Holler at your girl.
Girl, you will be all right.
No, I don't know. Like, I didn't
get cold again.
I know. I didn't know what Zoom was before 2020. Now it's everywhere. My dad's doing Zoom calls now. Like, we've all had to, well, not all of us, but like a lot. We've had to adjust to working
from home. Yeah, that's been really hard.
I want to get a new office chair. I was just thinking about that because I have no date on when I'm going back to the office. We talked about that at work today. Yeah. And I was like, you know what?
That's true.
I need to get a good chair because my right shoulder. The way my desk is set up, it's not good.
I need to get a Wi-Fi connector so I can work in my office instead of at my dining room table. But that's another thing. I feel like I've invested so much.
In our house!
Yes, I have invested so much more energy in my house. Like, I feel like my house from the beginning of COVID to the end of COVID is a whole new house. And it's actually thanks to my parents when they came here. They painted. They gave me their couch. They gave me their grill. Shout out to my parents. They gave me a lot of stuff.
Oh, the patio furniture, too.
Yes. But, like, I feel like I've never seen my house as, like, so central to, like, me. Like, this is, like, my central location. And I feel like before this year, I feel like I was just, like, scattered. Like, oh, I'm at work, and I'm here, and I'm there, and home is just, you know, Baxter at the house. And, you know, I drop myself off here, sleep, eat, recharge. And now it's like, no, home is my place. And
you got new drapes.
I do.
You got new wall art. It's like very like cozy.
Thank you. Yeah. I like being here. And I like being home. Saving money too. Remember how much money we learned we could save when we stay home during COVID? I was like, where's this extra money in my account coming from?
Because you like couldn't go to the bars because they were closed.
I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. I got money. And then shopping.
And then Amazon.
And then Amazon Prime stock went from $2 to $200,000. I was joking. But that price, when Amazon saved the day.
Yeah.
Because I Amazon Prime so much. And online shop, Nordstrom Rack was my best friend.
I just saw some wall art today. I want to buy it at Walmart.
Buy it.
Because now it's like, well, if it sparks joy, why not? This is now my office and my house.
I can't have the joy quote in my life. You know which cheesecake I would have?
This was joy.
I would have so many things in my house.
You know what else happened? Can we move on?
Please.
Tiger King.
Oh, God, Tiger King was a real thing.
We got introduced to Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. And all that is Tiger King.
And that it's a real thing happening in America. And the problem, here's the thing, Tiger King is like the embarrassing holiday party video that you hope no one saw, and then everyone saw it. Because it's like the whole world had nothing to do. And it was like, this is America.
That was like early on COVID.
It was what we did during COVID. It helped people cope with COVID.
Yeah, like.
I had a school leader that was just signing his emails, Joe Exotic.
Oh, no.
I swear to you.
Yes, Joe. And then, like, it kept going, though, because Joe, is Joe currently still incarcerated? Or what's happening with him?
Yeah, Joe's still in jail.
Okay. And then,
I said it like I know him.
Well, that one guy, like, spoke out, didn't he, with him and his boyfriend?
All of them did. Remember the sequel?
Yeah.
They remember they reopened Carol Baskin's husband's case? And then Carol Baskin went on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, I was going to definitely mention Dancing with the Stars. Because I watched that. Well, no, I didn't watch that episode. But she got booted off pretty early on. I think, like, episode one or two. But she was on there. Like, why is she still happening? But I'm like, yes, I'm here for you. I kind of want to rewatch
Tiger King. I will.
That should be, like, our holidays, like, thing over the holiday break.
They're going to come out with a Tiger King special for Christmas, you know? Like,
oh, God, I hope so.
I actually want to, like, decorate my house for Christmas. I feel like I'm going to be in the house so long. I need to... Okay, yes, yeah. Tiger King happened. What's some other stuff? Dave Chappelle specials got me through.
Yes, I love Dave.
Me too. Dave, like, I'm rewatching the, like, Chappelle show now.
Stop it, I am too!
I don't hit me!
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm on episode, like, four, and I feel like... Like, I watched Dave when it came on in the early 2000s or whatever. And, like, and then I had, like, the two DVD specials.
We could have a whole episode on Dave Chappelle, I swear.
I have his old stand-ups on DVD.
I love Dave Chappelle. Yeah, so he helped me get through.
I love Dave. And he's, like, also doing for Ohio because he's doing his shows in Ohio. Yeah. He's bringing money here. He's bringing people here.
Yeah.
He's bringing awareness. I mean, no one really, you know, not much... Honestly, like, outside of Ohio, I feel like people don't really give a shit about Ohio.
What? No, that's
I know, it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy. But, like, we're kind of known as, like, a flyover state.
Are we? Yeah. We have stuff here.
We do, but, like, no one, like, remember when I was down south, they're like, ooh, why would I go to Cleveland? What's in Cleveland? It's so cold.
Okay, that's fine. Keeps the cost, my cost of living low. Let them think that. I like my mortgage payments.
I mean, you and I know that Cleveland is awesome.
It's beautiful. It's amazing. I love it here.
But I feel like a lot of people, like when I was in Portland, Oregon,
yeah, they
like,
don't understand.
Oh, you're from Ohio?
Right. When you say Cleveland, sometimes they'd be like, Cleveland. It's like, why does it, like, but what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I like it here.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have an episode on the greatness of Cleveland.
Yeah, eventually. Yo, 2020, what else? What are some movies... What are your notables of 2020? Your notable song, movie?
Well, I don't have, books. Like, one specific song. But I love, like, all the pop-up of, like, quarantine rap songs now. Like, I just, remember when I sent you...
Quarantine Thick.
Yeah, did you watch Quarantine Thick?
No.
Listeners, Quarantine Thick by 2 Chainz. Watch that shit. Like, it might sound like this is a function, and then, like, you're like, okay. And then you're into it. And that's the mood. That's basically mood of 2020 is quarantine thick. Because you're in the house. You're probably eating more than usual. Maybe you're getting DoorDash. Maybe you're getting Uber Eats. You're probably not moving as much as you used to because you're not leaving your house. The gym is closed. You don't want to catch COVID.
Remember the uproar and the gyms being closed? There was protests. You were doing squats in front of Dunkin' Donuts and stuff.
Like, it's really not your fault that you're quarantined thick right now, but that just is what it is.
I think the notable song, so some of the notable songs I think for 2020, one of them is going to be WAP. By Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's going to be one. I'm trying to think of songs that came out solely in 2020. But also, it's like November now. There's still a month for stuff to come out.
But I like kind of... Well, no, I don't...
What?
I have mixed feelings about, like, the rise of the stripper rap.
You did
genre.
Write that down. Because that became big.
Because I feel like it started with Cardi B.
Okay.
Because she was a stripper, and that was a
rapper. I think it definitely started before her.
Who did it start with?
Oh, God, like.
You think Nikki?
No, I was going way further, but.
Oh, who?
I just think that women have been over-sexualized in hip-hop, and.
Well, yeah.
But here's the thing with Cardi. I think that the fact that Cardi had already been a, like, celebrity, and she was already theatrical in her persona, like, she already had, like, a popularity behind her. So, with her popularity, she brought from, like, her viewers on, like, Love & Hip Hop or whatever the show was.
Yeah. I think kind of Love & Hip Hop was her pivotal moment where, like, she came up, like, to come up.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it was, like, her personality was just so, like, intoxicating that the style of rap just...
But she dresses like a stripper.
Okay.
In a lot of her music videos, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, she got some stripper moves in her dance moves.
But, like, Rihanna did that, too, and Pour It Up.
Yeah.
It's like Rihanna's done it before.
Rihanna dipped into it, but like, Rihanna was never an actual stripper
before. Think about Lil' Kim.
But they were never actual strippers before they became rappers.
Eve was a stripper before she
Yeah. But Eve didn't get...
She was a stripper.
She wasn't, like, really out there like that. Like, she was a Rough Rider, so, like, she was, like, with a lot of dudes, and she was kind of, like...
It's always been, like, an undercurrent in like, hip-hop culture, is, like, the girl's a stripper, or, like, they strip. Like, T-Pain, I love with the stripper. Yeah. It's always been an undercurrent. Cardi B's the first one to own it and be like, yep, I do, guess what, made money, she owned it. Like, we're at a pro-feminist rise in our lives, so it's, like, now the things that were at one time looked at with a side eye are now just, like, it's been there. Own it. Can you commercialize it? And can you maybe make a makeup line off of it too? If you could rap, like, whatever you're good at, own it. Feel beautiful about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we need to be cautious with that message.
Because now we have, like, Megan Thee Stallion.
Yep.
Just come out of that. We've got...
Saweetie. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Mulatto.
Oh, I hate that name.
I know. Okay. And, like, you know, like, that kind of crew. Yeah, City Girls, like. So, I don't...
Much. I listen to a lot of that stuff when I'm getting ready for work.
I know. It's good, entertaining music. Mm-hmm. I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
But it's just this... It's getting very vulgar, and it's a very, like, specific type of rap that's coming out. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'll listen to it. I like it. It gets me hype. But it's not what, like, Brandy and Monica used to be back in the day.
Yeah, like, I still prefer Jhené Aiko, or Rihanna J, or Sid, or stuff like that. I got into jazz this year because I got a record player. That's one thing 2020 did for me. What else did I like? That's all you had? I was thinking about Netflix stuff I watch a lot of. Remember how there was all this, like, virus shows coming out on Netflix?
Or, like
The Spread and...
Or they were, like, reposting older movies, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Or being, like, you're just making all of America paranoid.
Like, they're, like... They're betting on our, like, need to know what happens when there's a virus.
So you can talk... Let's talk through books you've read. Suggestions.
So, no, these are the ones that I've read this year. No Ashes in the Fire, Coming of Age, Black and Free in America by Darnell L. Moore. That was good because he's actually homosexual and black. So, like, that was an interesting book to read. The second one, One Person, No Vote, How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy by Carol Anderson. I would highly suggest that book. Actually, I think my aunt's read it too and has recommended it. It is good, especially, like, if you want to know the intricacies of voter suppression and how it, like, works, read that book. Carol Anderson is, like, highly educated. Third one, Eloquent Rage, A Black Feminist Discovers Her Superpower by Brittany Cooper.
Ooh, I'm gonna read that. Dang.
Yeah, I'll let you borrow it. Okay. Brittany Cooper was just on this NPR show the other day, and she was speaking some truth. So she is, like, she's a professor of African American studies at some university. I can't remember which one, but she knows her shit. So the fourth one, Pimp.
Hey!
By Iceberg Slim.
I don't know why that was, like, a shout out to me.
I don't know. Cause I let you borrow it.
So that's, like, why it is. I'm still reading it right now. Okay.
Yeah.
That was just a weird thing to not explain.
So I thought you would like that. So that is the true story of a pimp iceberg Slim. His autobiography? I don't know. Well, no, it's not an autobiography. He wrote the book, but yeah, I was interested in the pimp culture. So, why are you laughing so hard?
The weird things to say.
I'm trying to learn the entirety of black culture right now.
Why did you start with pimps? Journey.
I didn't start with pimps. I started with voter suppression.
How did you get the pimps?
I was on a journey. I'm still there. I want to know what happens at all levels of society. And turns out, pimping is my family. So, I'm interested.
Okay, that makes sense. I just don't think about pimps on the day to day, and I wouldn't think of when I would research them.
It's good to know,
a
lot of information.
No, wait, I do have to tell this story. I did learn about pimping on my job. I swear to you.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to you. I had to do
please tell this story.
I had to do a virtual training on human trafficking, and they had vocabulary, and they were trying to tell educators, if you listen out for this vocabulary, and you'll know if a kid's involved in human trafficking. So the words were thought, that hoe over there, bottom bitch, the main hoe, the one in control of the other human traffics, Romeo pimp, which is someone who's like romantic in the beginning.
Aren't they all?
No. Here's the other pimp they told me about. Gorilla pimp.
What is a gorilla pimp?
One who's like
just mean the whole time.
Yeah, like just uses force to get them to do stuff. But do you know how awkward it is to like check in with people? Be like, did you do that human trafficking? That's me. And then one of our coworkers, who I love to death, she said she wasn't paying attention, so she had the volume off. And so then when it came to the quiz, it said, "What is the acronym for thought?" And she was like, "What did I miss?"
Did she know the answer though?
I don't know. I had already told her in advance what the PD was because I went through it. And I was like, "Girl, did you know that they went through all the stuff?" So then when she saw it, she was like, or I don't know. I think she was just kind of thrown off, like, "What? Thought? Like, did I miss something?" I'm like, "Yeah, girl, you missed the whole vocabulary section." Yeah. So for you to say you're interested in pimp culture,
yeah,
that's funny. Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, what else you been reading?
She Came to Slay, The Life and Times of Harriet Tubman.
Oh, I saw that book.
Yeah, that's by Erica Armstrong Dunbar. Thank you. Pour it up.
Okay.
Number 6, In the Shadow of Statues, A White Southerner Confronts History.
Oh, I saw that book. I want to read that one, too.
Yeah, that one is by Mitch Landrieu. I don't know. I probably butchered that last name, but he's like Louisiana in Louisiana. So I think he was like the governor of Louisiana. He wrote a book about how he feels about his city, his mm-hmm. country, mm-hmm. and the Confederate racist statues that are up that he took down during his time in office. Mm. And, like, the struggle he had to go through, like, so many hoops to get down statues.
Because like, it's a part of history. It's, like, it's our history. It's, like, but your history is rooted in the oppression of another group.
And even when he got, like, finally the legal right in court to take these statues down, no construction company would do it because anyone that would take the bid for the government, like, to take down these statues...
would lose other bids.
Would get, public pressure from the community to back out, and they would get threats. Like, they were getting threats, and this is 2000 and something. Like, I don't know.
Right, it's recent.
It was not that long ago.
Right, we were alive.
So, like, they had, it was amazing. Anyway, good book, read it.
Oh, Jesus.
The last one, The Warmth of Other Suns, The Epic Story of America's Great Migration. This is by Elizabeth Wilkerson.
It looks like Isabel.
Isabel. What'd I say? Elizabeth?
Yes.
I'm sorry. By Isabel Wilkerson.
Well, to give her benefit of the doubt, we finished the bottle.
this one is a lengthy one, and I'm still, like, in the middle of it. It is literally, like, the size of a brick. Like, I don't know. It's
like the Bible.
Yeah, but it's good. It tells, like, the entire story of how Black folks came to be, came out of the South and into the North. Mm. So, like, I've been really wondering, like, okay, how did I get here? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I'm Black. I'm in Cleveland. Ohio. Mm-hmm. Dad is from Buffalo, but actually his family is also from Georgia, and how he left Georgia, and that story was interesting to me. So he fled Stone Mountain, Georgia, to get away from the Klan. My father, like, he just turned 67, so, like, not that long ago, right. And so it's just about, I found that story interesting about, like, how Black people came to the North and how we can be here.
I read the book. One book is, I think it's called, like, Barracoon, and it was written by, the same woman who wrote The Eyes Are Watching God, so I think it was, like, Zora something. I'm so mad at myself for forgetting her last name, but it's about it's called The Last Black Cargo, and it is the story of, like, she went and interviewed the last living slave, like, one of the last living slaves, and he told us, like, his story of living in Africa and being captured and coming on the boat and being a slave and then, like, starting a little Africa in Georgia. And it was just very interesting to, of course, hear the narrative of what it was to be a slave. So I read that. There's a book I have called The Black Book, and it's where you see, like, different pictures and clippings and illustrations of, like, Black culture. So going from Africa to the slave trade to minstrels to Black history to jazz. I also have been reading about the Taino Indians, which were the Native Americans that were indigenous to Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's also interesting.
Yeah, so I've been reading that, and then I've been reading, like, the history of Puerto Rico. I've just been interested in that. Mm-hmm. Still working on those, obviously. Those are chunks. You read those in chunks. I'm reading Pimp. The book is so freaking interesting. It is so interesting. And we watched the documentary, which, so now I'm reading Pimp, and I'm like, whoa.
And there's a glossary in the back.
I know, the glossary.
Vocabulary.
The glossary is great.
In case you need to know what a bottom bitch is.
Or you could just work for my organization and go to one of our PDs and they'll tell you. I read Everything I Never Told About You. And Everything I Never Told You, which is just kind of it was like a realistic fiction, just a quick read about this, like, family who the mother was a white female who was very beautiful, went to medical school, fought a lot of gender norms, and then the father is Asian American who fought a lot of racism. They fell in love, and they put all that societal pressure on their children, and then one of them passes away, and it shows, like, what the family went through based on the context of their situation. Dang. Right. It was good. So I used to read that at night.
I don't read a lot of fiction.
Yeah, that's why I read some fiction this year. I'm in the middle of this book called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. It's about this therapist who needs therapy. Because
is that a fiction or two, or
I think it's based on her. Or something. I don't know, but it's not hilarious, but it's very interesting. So literally, she's going through therapy, and then I read this little art not giving a fuck. But I read that in, like, the beginning of the year, and it's kind of interesting. I feel like the guy who wrote it's kind of a dick, but good points. I just think he's, like, a very white, privileged male who's a dick. And, like, he kind of just went through life, like, it's going to work anyway, or if it don't, fuck it. And it's like, you ain't got to worry about the system at all. Like, you're just going to fall onto something. You can afford to not give a fuck. So, but he wrote about it, and I got some good points out of it.
All right. Woody, is that you? Anything else you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. What I wanted to say, 2020 is not over, but I need it to be.
Does it feel like it's lingering?
Yeah, I just feel
a little long, slow, it's like fast.
2020 feels like a credit card I'm working to pay off for a long time, and I'm almost there. And you're like 2 or 3 payments away, and you wish you could pay it off early, but you just really can't. That's what 2020 is.
I feel that. I understand that.
But, like, that to, like, the 100th power, will get you to recognize the realm. Because yeah. 2020 has been bad. But I guess the thing I do want to say is, I think 2020 was like a weird year for me because, like, you know, my parents moved, which I'm happy for them. Those are kind of, you know, hard. I went through a lot with my last job. Then I transitioned to a new job very quickly. Like, 2020 has been a year of, like, transition in my life. And one thing I learned is with transition, for me to be able to be my full self in my next part, I almost had to, like, grieve a lot. Like, because it just felt like when Corona hit and when, like, there's all these other parts of my life that were changing, I kind of knew, like, things aren't going to ever be what they used to be. Like, whatever comes out on the other side of this is going to be different.
Yeah.
So because of that, things are never going to be the same, and I need to accept that. Because I don't like when people say things like back to normal. I don't want things to go back to normal.
Well, now we're realizing, like, normal wasn't really that
exactly
great.
So that being said, to let that go, I need to grieve that there was parts of it I enjoyed, there was parts of it that were wrong, and I need to let go of it and come into this new place. And I think 2020 has been a year for me to really exercise. I've really, like, prayed a lot for wisdom and emotional maturity. And that's something I just really, really wanted to grow in, because I think that's something I knew that I needed a lot of work in. Like, I feel like I know that, like, I'm smart, I read and stuff, but I just needed, for me to get to the next level in my life, I need to be mature and I need to be emotionally, like, wise and emotionally, like, sound. And I think this was the year I got to practice that. And with that, I am ready for whatever comes out on the other side of this.
That's
deep. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I just was thinking it.
I mean, that sounds good, though.
Yeah, so I'm really happy with, and I think that 2020 was the year that I really did realize that if I don't have kids, it's okay, because I couldn't imagine COVID with them.
Damn.
Like, that was a big piece of, like, I always had that pressure, and then I really, I actually feel guilty saying I enjoy quarantine sometimes. Because it was, like, just me and Baxter.
You enjoy what, like, oh, sorry, I can't make it, and staying home.
There was nothing to make. Everything was canceled.
Yeah. Recently, I've been, like, thinking I want to have parties and then remembering we're still in the COVID season.
Yeah, I'll get to parties eventually. But, yeah, so that's kind of been my reflection is, like, I think I'm ready for this new, whatever the new chapter is. I feel really, I love my new job. You know, and I think that there's been ways I've been able to show up in this new space because of things I went through in the early 2020. Mm-hmm. So, no harm, no foul to the past, because it prepared me for what's coming right now.
That sounds good. I don't have anything else. I did want to tell everybody the end. Right at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to tell everybody that we're going to take a little break. We mentioned it last episode and probably at the top of this one. We're taking some time off for the holidays, and we're going to come back probably at some point next year, January. I mean, really haven't discussed a specific date, but yeah. She's nodding. January.
We might do like a New Year special, like in the first week of the new year, the second week or something.
Keep following us on social media. We're always going to be, like, there and pretty active on Instagram. That's where we stay.
You know what I was thinking would be really cool for us to do?
What?
I was going to try and craft up some of our bloopers and kind of release stuff on the Instagram page. Because we've had some moments that we didn't publish that were
that would be goofy. Fun. We'd have to, like, go into the audio archives.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
And we're still working on our cookbook. I have a couple recipes I put together I got to show you. So.
Okay. I actually got a drink request. So I'll share that with you.
Yeah, so we'll come out of 2020 with a lot of stuff, some guests lined up. So we're going to come back. This was, like, see, this is our, like, pilot
for sure
season.
We're still learning, you know, so we're trying to figure out, like, what formula works best.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're also going to take this time off to, I want to get some more equipment.
Oh, yeah.
And
I got the whole basement.
Yeah, we're going to check out Andesia's basement and get some stuff down there and maybe make that, like, our new little studio. And hopefully, like, the sound quality might be a little better. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we're going to take this time to, you know, like, research some things and come back bigger and better for 2021.
What else? I don't know. Like, I want to say this is kind of like a time of coming together. I feel like with the holidays, with the country, like, finally, you know, like, the elections are over. We pretty much know who's our president-elect. Like, mm-hmm. we all need to just kind of come together at this point and kind of try to heal our nation. And I feel like inclusion and understanding and just, like, love need to be top of mind and, like, our priority right now. Because I feel like, all these politics and stuff has been so, like, hate-driven. I just want, like, people to, like, stop and think about love.
And in the meantime, catch up on any episodes you haven't listened to, especially the older ones, so you can hear how goofy we were when we did not know what we were doing.
Hopefully we've made some progress.
Right, exactly. And if not, we take feedback.
Don't say anything. Just give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Now, you can be honest in your review. I'm constructive with my feedback. If you think we are 3 or 4, tell us. It'll give us some wiggle room. You know, it's some time to grow. If you're giving us a 1, then just don't listen. Like, you're being a bitch. Like,
if you write a really good review, maybe we'll read it on the air.
If you write a review, oh, the reviews get posted to our IG.
Yeah, like, we'll shout you out.
Yeah, we always do. We shout out people. We shout out our support. We know our day ones.
Our day ones. So,
bye.
Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
What else? Any other
Happy
holidays?
New Year.
Happy New Year. Yay.
Happy Boxing Day. Feliz Dia de Tres Reyes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.